Well, date this day. Today is the 11th of January, 1988. It's approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're having a meeting at which Bruce and Marge Schultz are here with us. Meeting's commenced.
Good afternoon. Have Tony Light. All my radiant friends have come with me to see if I can salvage DJ. The problem is, it is so mammoth, and once hear the story so many times, tell the story so many times, including myself, but I have some monitors to help me. And until you go back and listen to what Bruce's original question was of this afternoon, it's going to be confusing in his mind. So what? You are building, and you have some little factories and things. They're not little, but so what? The question was, why another community? Would you care for the tape, please, Bruce, to repeat the question that you asked?
Well, I guess my thought is that there are a lot of communities, and there are a lot of business communities all over, right up here in this particular neighborhood. There are not that many, but you don't have to go very far away to find a business community. And all you have to do is go over the hill 50 miles south of here to get into a large business community. What is so special about this business community that's proposed for Tehachapi? Why is it different than any other business?
We're going to start by answering that question, and I'm going to begin answering that question by backing up a little bit farther. The reason the area is so crucial is that it is not overbuilt so far. It can still blossom into basically a community. It is beginning now to have some little shopping centers and a few things like that, but being very close to Los Angeles, it still has not blossomed much. That is not the reason it is chosen. It is chosen because the crystal of Lemuria is here. This will be the communication center of this corner of your universe. There are many such vortices spaced around in different places, many ancient artifacts in each of these places. We run on power, if you will, and navigate along ley lines, energy lines. All of these energy lines crisscross, much as your longitude and latitude measurements. We have ley line grid work, and at the vortices there will always be crystals, simply because we use crystals for navigation and for communication.
When you say at the vortices, Commander, my understanding of that may be coordination points where
right.
These intersections take place.
Right. Let us say, as an example, there is a major vortex right here, a vortex, right here at this place, this house, this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There is one in the Four Corners area.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many scattered throughout the world. And there are smaller ones. You're a pilot. You will fly along and put your signals on the Omni stations. Am I right? Is that what you call those?
Yes.
Those signal devices. Well, we are set with our navigation systems along the ley lines and these major vortices. It so happens that the crystal from Lemuria has now, through these many, many hundreds of years, thousands of years, has grown. It turns out that there are some very large crystalline flowers, if you will, that are unfractured, so that you still have units. This is, I believe, and I would have to look at my scanners, I'm sure this is the largest one in this corner of the universe. It was the major communications navigation crystal during the time Lemuria was in its prime. It was utilized again during the civilization known as Atlanteans, the Atlantis continent, which, by the way, you've got a portion of very, very close to your surface now. You can be looking for some Nulil Islands and some major archaeological finds coming from it in your not too distant future. I love imminent too, over the, that gives me a leeway of some 200,000 years down to next
one way
or
the other. That's pretty decent leeway.
But we'll get it right down close for you.
Right down to 200,000 years.
Yes. But at any rate, the way the tectonic plates of your earth shift, you see, it's like the skull bone of a new babe. You will have the fontanelles, and you will have these different skull plates, the occipital plate, I don't have to give you an anatomy lesson. But you know, when a child is born, the baby's head has a soft spot in the crown. It also is practically disconnected so that the skull itself, the bone mass, can grow. And let us just say it receives a severe blow to the head that does not crush the skull. It will displace these plates. One will either shove above the other or underneath. Now this is simply, don't lure me to medicine on this because we'd have a dead patient. But as your earth shifts, it is continually in motion, depending upon what is going on. You have coming up from your earth floor I am stalled out because I believe your series called Making of a Continent that is the best, but you will be having a new one starting on your public television this week called Planet Earth. I believe Dorma put on her little calendar starting on Thursday evening. If you have facilities, I would suggest you start recording these. You'll enjoy going back and looking at them. I would have to monitor them because the one that I liked the best came from the series Making of a Continent. But I believe you'll get it in Planet Earth also. You have volcanic activity on longitudinal fissures down approximate middle of your oceans, in both your major oceans. You have the same thing happening in your Mediterranean seas, your larger seas, but it is not as marked. You have great masses of lava that are making new bases for landmass. You have a lot of upheaval coming on in your dormant volcanoes. In other words, your inner earth is very busy these days. You have built up great, great tension at the junctures or the slipping surfaces of your tectonic plates. Along with the shifting and the movement, let us take the Pacific plate. It shifts to the north. If you're going to take a bottle top or a plate, you would spin it counterclockwise. And as it strikes your continent, it goes both under it and to the north. Your Baja Peninsula, for instance, is moving northward a lot more rapidly than you can believe. You have what we now call static pressure. You're hung up. You're not slipping smoothly. It has been a long time since a major slip along the San Andreas Fault, for instance. This is where one plate meets the other. Only the Pacific plate is sliding under the North American plate. Now what's going to happen since the juncture, the major juncture in this particular part of your world, your geographical world, is at that San Andreas Fault. When it shifts, you will find a major upward thrust of the landmass, which is the larger, which would be your continental landmass, of which this is a portion. The crystal is here for a very good reason. After Atlantis, it was removed and brought here because there are some remnants of Lemuria. Now, there was a civilization before, but I'm going to stick to these that we've heard of. I'm not going to give you an ancient history lesson. The crystal was removed to this place because of that geographic slippage. We know that this being, portion of the ancient continent of Lemuria, of which there are many little pieces left, another portion or two, very small, but in California, little bit, would have been a very small island as such, speckled out there, if you will, in the Sedona area. It's really a give and take. Even our scientists would argue that point, because most of the time it was landmass underwater. But I like to think of it as being a part of original Lemuria. You will have some parts of Central America. And of course, you have to realize that all of your continents have shifted greatly, so that it might not fit any kind of pattern that you can hold in your mind. You will have to know that all of your continents were attached at one time, and they have now drifted and drifted apart as the plates shift. This is just the changing of a world. Cooling, heating, and shifting. You're in constant motion. It is a living planet, just as different parts of you will shift. And if, let me take a piece of bone off of the toe or off of the shoulder, a bone spur grows, or you knock a chip off, doesn't necessarily mean the chip ceases to exist. It can go on as living tissue, disattached from its major source. All of the continent of Australia is remnants of original Lemuria. It is not a part of your Pacific plate as such, but it is greatly, greatly affected by the shifting of the Pacific plate. And at that area, Lemuria goes so deep toward the center of your earth, and it is so stably attached that as these other masses move, it is greatly affected. So you will have major earthquake activity in that outback area. You will have volcanic activity. So you need to watch very carefully what is happening with Australia, even though it is not in your ring of fire as such, because it is greatly, greatly impacted, as are some of those other islands, as New Zealand. But we'll deal just with Australia now. Your Aleutians, part of the Japanese chain, your Hawaiian islands that have come up from the bottom of the sea. You have many, many changes that will take place. And as Lemuria again comes to the surface through these evolutionary changes, and finally great upheaval will simply thrust it up, well, there's going to be a large mass of water displaced. At this moment, you see, you'll have all kinds of speculations, and this is what Germain will be telling you as a given. When you start talking about the balancing again of your earth place, and craft your brothers, balancing earth or making effort to continue to maintain some balance so that you do not shift on your axis abruptly. You're already shifting. And as time moves forward, there are restrictions placed upon our activities. But we are still maintaining great energy input. Now, your ice masses, oh my gracious, I don't know how I get into these. Let me shorten it down. Your ice masses at your poles cause your world, your planet, to be heavily weighted in an unbalanced form. So part of this big sad sob story that you have about your ozone layer, etc., etc., and more sun heat coming forth, what happens is the friction. As the sun enters your atmosphere unfiltered through an ozone layer, causes more heating. So you will have some ice melt. But look at it this way. Ice cannot be shifted. Water will flow. So what would perceive to many, or would be perceived by many, to be a very negative occurrence, truly is saving you. It is allowing rebalancing from your polar systems. It's not enough. And you can have great land masses flooded from this very thing. But the world is going to change. It is going to change. If nothing in the history of mankind existed, it would change. You would have earth upheavals. That's the way mountains are born. This is the way earth is born. Land is born, created from these very upheavals. These are evolutionary changes. Man comes along and cuts down the rainforest, for instance, to build dwellings or for whatever else. A lot of your Brazilian and your Central American rainforests are cut down now simply so man can grow his food. And because the land is so infertile, he must cut more and more and more. And then it triggers an entire chain of ecological impact. You have nothing to hold the waters from the flood times. Pretty soon the rainforest is no longer, and it will affect your rainfall in your North American growing fields. So you'll have continued droughts. You will find that you are having a complete restructuring of your atmospheric conditions. All of these things are coming about at a time where you're having a more major evolution of your planet as such. You see, through the periods of time that Earth would recycle from a civilization of a Lemuria or an Atlantis, you would be replacing within and without the same planet basic civilization. It would take time for the land masses coming up from under your ocean to adjust and habilitate enough to be able to grow, because your seas are heavily laden with salts, minerals. So there needs to be the leaching and the recovering and the rebuilding. But basically that way you have clean land, remineralized, all of those wonderful things. The difference with this evolution, this simple change, is that this gets in a little bit to religion and spirituality, and I don't like to do that because ones then want to pin some particular club name on to us. and I'm interested in no religious clubs. I'm interested in soul survival, soul, essence, life, which is your God self, and the evolution of a planet, because she's being birthed into a fourth dimension. The ancients knew. The predictions were given from the onset of the planet itself. I won't get into the lessons of illusions, but you need this background to know why this place is important. As of last August, a year ago, on the 17th day, started your year one. You ran out. All the ancient calendars, all the ancient ones knew that was the end. You're in two. They talk about the new age. I don't like the term. It conjures up a tacky vision in my mind. And all the silliness that goes on with it. But you really did enter into the newness of a new calendar, a new time frame. The Mayan calendar ended. The Aztec calendar ended. The Andean calendar ended.
They all end on the same day?
Yes, sir. And the Aborigine ancient ones of Australia brought their dream time to a stop. There is no more dream time. It is the time of going home. A time of perceived death. But it's a rejoicing time. There is this limbo time of change. It is what you would call the period of revelations. It will go through its pattern of what you're going to have your preachers tell you is tribulation, resurrection, second comings. There's many things that are going to happen, as there are preachers who are going to tell you, or psychics, or energies from up here, to try to explain it in such a way that Earth man can absorb of it. It isn't mystical. It takes no psychic genius. The time has come. The time that man has longed for, dreamt for, cared for, all of his life existence and soul essence is coming to be. A planet has been given her birth, the freedom of life. She no longer has to tolerate the things that go on in a third-dimensional, corrupted atmosphere. It is a time of sorting. As ones move this planet into its time of radiance, the dark energies will truly be removed. Some will be removed depending on what the wishes are. Some of you, all of you in this circle, in this group, I speak of circle simply to designate a group. I don't intend to tell you who. The ones destined to be here will migrate here as they hear of it. They'll be drawn here. Some will come and go. Some will come, go, and return. For they will not find what they're searching for elsewhere. They will not find perfection elsewhere. There will be no success elsewhere. There will be the constant searching. This is the area, the place of the new city that was spoken of in your holy books. Very practical. we can control this mountain. We have encapsulated this crystal in a plasmic cradle. We can separate it from the mountain if need be. It's over 2 miles in diameter. It is over 6 miles in depth. New one for you, Hans. That's a big crystal. We don't want it fractured. It is perfection. And it is the guidance system for this corner of your universe. That's why you'll see a lot of activity in the skies about this place. Especially the ones in my command, which I consider the Pleiades command, because the Pleiades people are much more like you. They can mingle with you. From many of the Pleiades planets, you are so similar that many of you are directly from us and you just don't know it yet. And many of you struggle against it. Some of you search for it. It will evolve as it is meant to be. This landmass here, as upheavals come, will be thrust on upward at least 1,200 feet, so that it will be above any water level. Now, these are not things that are anticipated to happen when. However, as the pressures build in some of the fault intermeshings and are impacted by all of the testing in Nevada, for instance, I use that. It is not the only place in the United States that nuclear weaponry is tested. But it's what impacts you. There are great imbalances that occur. We are not able to shield the crystal, for instance, enough that every time they detonate over there, a large detonation, it unbalances and we have to come back and reprogram part of this crystal. It's a different kind of vibration. And your experts will tell you it has no effect. I tell you how it is. The dam at Lake Mead will break. It is so damaged. I see no way to hold it. We pour energy in. You are continually having that earth bombardment to the base of that dam. And it's a matter of time, and your scientists know it. There are just many what you're going to consider cataclysmic happenings that are going to occur. Don't blame God. Some of it is evolution. If you are in an earthquake fault area, eventually you're going to get an earthquake. That's neither bad nor good, it just is. I like to see my ones. Let me back up. Ones who are destined, not necessarily to be here, but are given a great gift of participation in this evolution, will not be hurt. I don't mean you might break your legs. You might even bash your head. But we need you in earth form unless a pre-contractual agreement has been made that you need to change dimension to serve better on the other side. Because as we move into this, you ones would become more fourth dimensional than third. And you would be able to just go back and forth. You will not perceive much difference, other than you will just know that that's happening.
You already work with us all the time. Some of you are already going back and forth in bodily form. Eleanor, with her arthritis, says, well, I'd just as soon go, you know, without dragging it along. Doesn't work that way. But there'll be mornings your body is going to not want to move at all. That's when you have gone etherically, and your body has just been left there to breathe, just maintain life in itself. And you'll sometimes wake up saying, I don't think I turned over all night. You probably didn't. You worked all night. And you may as well be becoming comfortable with that. Most of the ones in this group are. Whether they're comfortable with it or not, they're accepting of it. Your jobs are great. You have no model business to bring a community of man, human, through a time of the kind of upheavals that are coming without planned structuring. You cannot just go out into the desert and build. You have to have reasonable reasons for doing so, or the government will stop you. Money will stop you. You won't have it. So a place was chosen where there is room for building. Many ones have been drawn to this area and they have no idea why. You'll run into Joe next door and he won't be able to tell you why he came here. In fact, it happened with Alan next door. And now he's one of the most gracious, beautiful of our energies. It will just be right, and your heart will know it is right. Ours is not to go out and teach spiritual lessons. That can, in this interim period of time, be done by ones like Sister and Twitter. We have to cover all the bases. The number one commitment to Father God is to get the word out. For he said, unto the four corners of the world will go the word. And he who has ears to hear will hear. He who has eyes to see will see. And then he can make an educated decision about his soul, about his divinity. You see, it continues to be choice right on through transition. Free will choice. Our obligation, our commitment to our Father is that the word will go forth. It will start with a nice little fantasy motion picture called Sipapu. Actually, it's already started. Well underway. But the motion picture communication system of your world will have its center here. What you will have considered your Hollywood of the world will be centered right here in those domes. It's outside the, what will we call it, the corruptness of the Hollywood scene, I think you say, the jet set, the labor unions that have all but destroyed the industry. There would be a series of six of these large domes, 3.5 devoted totally to motion picture, Then there will be places for the filming of documentaries, etc., for video projection. And then we will have the major satellite communication system here, hooked at the beginning to Skylink in Los Angeles. But this will be totally independent. It will be a...
I'll date this day. Today is the 11th of January, 1988. It's approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. And we're having a meeting at which Bruce and Marge Schultz are here with us. Meeting's commenced.
Good afternoon. Photon and light. All my radiant friends have come with me to see if I can salvage DJ. The problem is, it is so mammoth, and once hear the story so many times, tell the story so many times, including myself, but I have some monitors to help me. And until you go back and listen to what Bruce's original question was of this afternoon, it's going to be confusing in his mind. So what? You are building and you have some the factories and things. They're not little, but so what? The question was, why another community? Would you care for the tape, please, Bruce, to repeat the question that you asked?
Well, I guess my thought is that there are a lot of communities, and there are a lot of business communities all over, right up here in this particular neighborhood. There are not that many, but you don't have to go very far away to find a business community. And all you have to do is go over the hill 50 miles south of here to get into a large business community. What is so special about this business community that's proposed for Tehachapi? Why is it different than any other business?
We're going to start by answering that question, and I'm going to begin answering that question by backing up a little bit farther. The reason the area is so crucial is that it is not overbuilt so far. It can still blossom into basically a community. It is beginning now to have some little shopping centers and a few things like that, but being very close to Los Angeles, it still has not blossomed much. That is not the reason it is chosen. It is chosen because the crystal of Lemuria is here. This will be the communication center of this corner of your universe. There are many such vortices spaced around in different places, many ancient artifacts in each of these places. We run on power, if you will, and navigate along ley lines, energy lines. All of these energy lines crisscross, much as your longitude and latitude measurements. We have ley line grid work, and at the vortices there will always be crystals, simply because we use crystals for navigation and for communication.
When you say at the vortices, Commander, my understanding of that may be coordination points for
right.
These intersections take place.
Right. Let us say, as an example, there is a major vortice right here, a vortex, right here at this place, this house, this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There is one in the Four Corners area.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many scattered throughout the world. And there are smaller ones. You're a pilot. You will fly along and put your signals on the Omni stations. Am I right? Is that what you call those?
Yes.
For signal devices. Well, we are set with our navigation systems along the ley lines and these major vortices. It so happens that the crystal from Lemuria has now through these many, many hundreds of years, thousands of years, has grown. It turns out that there are some very large crystalline flowers, if you will, that are unfractured, so that you still have units. This is, I believe, and I would have to look at my scanners, I'm sure this is the largest one in this Cornell universe. It was the major communications navigation crystal during the time Lemuria was in its prime. It was utilized again during the civilization known as Atlanteans, the Atlantis continent, which, by the way, you've got a portion of very, very close to your surface now. You can be looking for some New Little Islands and some major archaeological finds coming from it in your not-too-distant future. I love imminent too, Overdy. That gives me a leeway of some 200,000 years down to next day.
That's a pretty decent leeway.
But we'll get it right down close for you.
Right down to 200,000 years.
Yes. But at any rate, the way the tectonic plates of your earth shift, you see, it's like the skull bone of a new babe. You will have the fontanelles, and you will have these different skull plates, the occipital plate, I don't have to give you an anatomy lesson. But you know, when a child is born, the baby's head has a soft spot in the crown. It also is practically disconnected so that the skull itself, the bone mass, can grow. And let us just say it receives a severe blow to the head that does not crush the skull. It will displace these plates. One will either shove above the other or underneath. Now this is simply, don't hold me to medicine on this because we'd have a dead patient. But as your earth shifts, it is continually in motion, depending upon what is going on. You have coming up from your earth floor I am stalled out because I believe your series called Making of a Continent that is the best, but you will be having a new one starting on your public television this week called Planet Earth. I believe Dorma put on her little calendar starting on Thursday evening. If you have facilities, I would suggest you start recording these. You'll enjoy going back and looking at them. I would have to monitor them because the one that I liked the best came from the series Making of a Continent. But I believe you'll get it in Planet Earth also. You have volcanic activity on longitudinal fissures down approximate middle of your oceans, in both your major oceans. You have the same thing happening in your Mediterranean seas, your larger seas, but it is not as marked. You have great masses of lava that are making new bases for landmass. You have a lot of upheaval coming on in your dormant volcanoes. In other words, your inner earth is very busy these days. You have built up great, great tension at the junctures or the slipping surfaces of your tectonic plates. Along with the shifting and the movement, let us take the Pacific plate. It shifts to the north. If you're going to take a bottle top or a plate, you would spin it counterclockwise. And as it strikes your continent, it goes both under it and to the north. Your Baja Peninsula, for instance, is moving northward a lot more rapidly than you can believe.
you have what we now call static pressure. You're hung up. You're not slipping smoothly. It has been a long time since a major slip along the San Andreas Fault, for instance. This is where one plate meets the other. Only the Pacific plate is sliding under the North American plate. Now what's going to happen? Since the juncture, the major juncture in this particular part of your world, your geographical world, is at that San Andreas Fault, when it shifts, you will find a major upward thrust of the land mass, which is the larger, which would be your continental land mass, of which this is a portion. The crystal is here for a very good reason. After Atlantis, it was removed and brought here because there are some remnants of Lemuria. Now, there was a civilization before, but I'm going to stick to these that we've heard of. I'm not going to give you an ancient history lesson. The crystal was removed to this place because of that geographic slippage. We know that this being, portion of the ancient continent of Lemuria, of which there are many little pieces left, another portion or two, very small, but in California, little bit, would have been a very small island as such, speckled out there, if you will, in the Sedona area. It's really a give and take. Even our scientists would argue that point, because most of the time it was landmass underwater. But I like to think of it as being a part of original Lemuria. You will have some parts of Central America, and of course you have to realize that all of your continents have shifted greatly, so that it might not fit any kind of pattern that you can hold in your mind. You will have to know that all of your continents were attached at one time, and they have now drifted and drifted apart as the plate shift. This is just the changing of a world. Cooling, heating, and shifting. You're in constant motion. It is a living planet, just as different parts of you will shift. And if, let me take a piece of bone off of the toe or off of the shoulder, a bone spur grows, or you knock a chip off, doesn't necessarily mean the chip ceases to exist. It can go on as living tissue, disattached from its major source. All of the continent of Australia is remnants of original Lemuria. It is not a part of your Pacific plate as such, but it is greatly, greatly affected by the shifting of the Pacific plate. And at that area, Lemuria goes so deep toward the center of your Earth, and it is so stably attached that as these other masses move, it is greatly affected. So you will have major earthquake activity in that outback area. You will have volcanic activity. So you need to watch very carefully what is happening with Australia, even though it is not in your ring of fire as such, because it is greatly, greatly impacted, as are some of those other islands, as New Zealand. But we'll deal just with Australia now. Your Aleutians, part of the Japanese chain, the Hawaiian Islands that have come up from the bottom of the sea. You have many, many changes that will take place. And as Lemuria again comes to the surface through these evolutionary changes, And finally, great upheaval will simply thrust it up. Well, there's going to be a large mass of water displaced. At this moment, you see, you'll have all kinds of speculations, and this is what Germain will be telling you as a given. When you start talking about the balancing again of your earth place and craft, your brothers, balancing earth or making effort to continue to maintain some balance so that you do not shift on your axis abruptly, you're already shifting. And as time moves forward, there are restrictions placed upon our activities. But we are still maintaining great energy input. Now, your ice masses, oh my gracious, I don't know how I get into this. Let me shorten it down. Your ice masses at your poles cause your world, your planet, to be heavily weighted in an unbalanced form. So part of this big sad sob story that you have about your ozone layer, etc., etc., and more sun heat coming forth, what happens is the friction. As the sun enters your atmosphere unfiltered through an ozone layer, causes more heating. So you will have some ice melt. But look at it this way. Ice cannot be shifted. Water will flow. So what would perceive to many, or would be perceived by many, to be a very negative occurrence, truly is saving you. It is allowing rebalancing from your polar systems. It's not enough. And you can have great land masses flooded from this very thing. But the world is going to change. It is going to change. If nothing in the history of mankind existed, it would change. You would have earth upheavals. That's the way mountains are born. This is the way earth is born. Land is born, created from these very upheavals. These are evolutionary changes. Man comes along and cuts down the rainforest, for instance, to build dwellings, or for whatever else. A lot of your Brazilian and your Central American rainforests are cut down now simply so man can grow his food. And because the land is so infertile, he must cut more and more and more. And then it triggers an entire chain of ecological impact. You have nothing to hold the waters from the flood times. Pretty soon the rainforest is no longer, and it will affect your rainfall in your North American growing fields. So you'll have continued droughts. You will find that you are having a complete restructuring of your atmospheric conditions. All of these things are coming about at a time where you're having a more major evolution of your planet as such. You see, through the periods of time that Earth would recycle from a civilization of a Lemuria or an Atlantis, you would be replacing within and without the same planet basic civilization. It would take time for the land masses coming up from under your ocean to adjust and habilitate enough to be able to grow, because your seas are heavily laden with salts, minerals. So there needs to be the leaching and the recovering and the rebuilding. But basically that way you have clean land, remineralized, all of those wonderful things. The difference with this evolution, this simple change, is that this gets in a little bit to religion and spirituality, and I don't like to do that because ones then want to pin some particular club name on to us. And I'm interested in no religious clubs. I'm interested in soul survival, soul, essence, life, which is your God self, and the evolution of a planet, because she's been birthed into a fourth dimension. The ancients knew, the predictions were given from the onset of the planet itself. I won't get into the lessons of illusions, but you need this background to know why this place is important. As of last August, a year ago, on the 17th day, started your year one. You ran out. All the ancient calendars, all the ancient ones knew that was the end. You're in two. They talk about the new age. I don't like the term. It conjures up a tacky vision in my mind. And all the silliness that goes on with it. But you really did enter into the newness of a new calendar, a new time frame. The Mayan calendar ended. The Aztec calendar ended. The Andean calendar ended.
They all end on the same day?
Yes, sir. And the Aborigine ancient ones of Australia brought their dream time to a stop. There is no more dream time. It is the time of going home. A time of perceived death. But it's a rejoicing time. There is this limbo time of change. It is what you would call the period of revelations. It will go through its pattern of what you're going to have your preachers tell you is tribulation, resurrection, second comings. There's many things that are going to happen, as there are preachers who are going to tell you, or psychics or energies from up here, to try to explain it in such a way that earth man can absorb of it. It isn't mystical. It takes no psychic genius. The time has come. The time that man has longed for, dreamt for, cared for, all of his life existence and soul essence is coming to be. A planet has been given her birth, the freedom of life. She no longer has to tolerate the things that go on in a third-dimensional, corrupted atmosphere. It is a time of sorting as ones move this planet into its time of radiance. The dark energies will truly be removed. Some will be removed depending on what the wishes are. Some of you, all of you in this circle, in this group, I speak of circle simply to designate a group. I don't intend to tell you who. The ones destined to be here will migrate here as they hear of it. They'll be drawn here. Some will come and go. Some will come, go, and return. For they will not find what they're searching for elsewhere. They will not find perfection elsewhere. There will be no success elsewhere. There will be the constant searching. This is the area, the place of the new city that was spoken of in your holy books. Very practical. We can control this mountain. We have encapsulated this crystal in a plasmic cradle. We can separate it from the mountain if need be. It's over 2 miles in diameter. It is over 6 miles in depth. New one for you, Hans. That's a big crystal. We don't want it fractured. It is perfection. And it is the guidance system for this corner of your universe. That's why you'll see a lot of activity in the skies about this place. Especially the ones in my command, which I consider the Pleiades command, because the Pleiades people are much more like you. They can mingle with you. From many of the Pleiades planets, you are so similar that many of you are directly from us and you just don't know it yet. And many of you struggle against it. Some of you search for it. It will evolve as it is meant to be. This landmass here, as upheavals come, will be thrust on upward at least 1,200 feet, so that it will be above any water level. Now, these are not things that are anticipated to happen when. However, as the pressures build in some of the fault intermeshings and are impacted by all of the testing in Nevada, for instance. I use that. It is not the only place in the United States that nuclear weaponry is tested. But it's what impacts you. There are great imbalances that occur. We are not able to shield the crystal, for instance, enough that every time they detonate over there, a large detonation, it unbalances and we have to come back and reprogram part of this crystal. It's a different kind of vibration. And your experts will tell you it has no effect. I tell you how it is. The dam at Lake Mead will break. It is so damaged. I see no way to hold it. We pour energy in. You are continually having that earth bombardment to the base of that dam. And it's a matter of time and your scientists know it. There are just many what you're going to consider cataclysmic happenings that are going to occur. Don't blame God. Some of it is evolution. If you are in an earthquake fault area, eventually you're going to get an earthquake. That's neither bad nor good, it just is. I like to see my ones. Let me back up. Ones who are destined, not necessarily to be here, but are given a great gift of participation in this evolution, will not be hurt. I don't mean you might break your legs. You might even bash your head. But we need you in Earth form, unless a pre contractual agreement has been made that you need to change dimension to serve better on the other side. Because as we move into this, you ones will become more fourth dimensional than third. And you would be able to just go back and forth. You will not perceive much difference, other than you will just know that that's happening. You already work with us all the time. Some of you are already going back and forth in bodily form. Eleanor, with her arthritis, says, well, I'd just as soon go, you know, without dragging it along. Doesn't work that way. But there'll be mornings your body is going to not want to move at all. That's when you have gone etherically, and your body has just been left there to breathe, just maintain life in itself. And you'll sometimes wake up saying, I don't think I turned over all night. You probably didn't. You worked all night. And you may as well be becoming comfortable with that. Most of the ones in this group are. Whether they're comfortable with it or not, they're accepting of it. Your jobs are great. You have no model business to bring a community of man, human, through a time of the kind of upheavals that are coming without planned structuring. You cannot just go out into the desert and build. You have to have reasonable reasons for doing so, or the government will stop you. Money will stop you. You won't have it. So a place was chosen where there is room for building. Many ones have been drawn to this area and they have no idea why. You'll run into Joe next door and he won't be able to tell you why he came here. In fact, it happened with Alan next door. And now he's one of the most gracious, beautiful of our energies. It will just be right, and your heart will know it is right. Ours is not to go out and teach spiritual lessons. That can, in this interim period of time, be done by ones like Sister and Twitter. We have to cover all the bases. The number one commitment to Father God is to get the word out. For he said, unto the four corners of the world will go the word. And he who has ears to hear will hear. He who has eyes to see will see. And then he can make an educated decision about his soul, about his divinity. You see, it continues to be choice right on through transition. Free will choice. Our obligation, our commitment to our Father is that the word will go forth. It will start with a nice little fantasy motion picture called Sipapu. Actually, it's already started. Well underway. But the motion picture communication system of your world will have its center here. What you will have considered your Hollywood of the world will be centered right here in those domes. It's outside the what will we call it, the corruptness of the Hollywood scene, I think you say, the jet set, the labor unions that have all but destroyed the industry. There would be a series of six of these large domes, 3.5 devoted totally to motion picture. Then there would be places for the filming of documentaries, etc., for video projection. And then we will have the major satellite communication system here, hooked at the beginning to Skylink in Los Angeles. But this would be totally independent. It will be a Ted Turner type of network that will be worldwide. We will bounce it all off satellites, which are already in place. Now that we will have had that taken care of, we need to turn our attention to two things. One, building in such a way that as we move on into the time of radiance, we just continue to grow. Those cities aren't parked out there in the Father's mansion realms haphazardly. They were built for times such as this, and you will build it. And the structures are of dome shapes usually, pyramid, mixtures of both. Typical city in Pleiades, lot of pyramids, lot of domes. We use a lot of crystals, but we plant them and they grow. We don't tear them up and fracture their little bodies, their life. We use a lot of gold, which probably is where you come by. Streets of gold. We can transform it. It's a very common thing. It has many, many uses. Well, obviously, you're not going to be able to start paving your streets with gold here. The government will come and tell you what to do. So you have to begin by building what is acceptable around you. So the thrust would be to get building materials that are sturdy, that you can use, and quit cutting your forest. You will put cockalapin heater types of heating systems in all of your homes and in these domes that at the beginning require gas, some kind of fuel, electricity, gas, very, very economical, and can use orchard slash and compress these chips into logs. And they are easily then converted to free energy as we bring it to you. That's a good ways down the road because of lack of security. But you'll be able to turn it over in 20 minutes, 15 minutes. It'll be ready. The major thrust will be to have enough businesses in total can carry itself. If it were isolated from everything else in the world, you would even, and we love to use this one, you even need to know how to make matches, or you need to store a lot of them. If you just pictured yourself completely cut off and floating out here as an island, because for a little while you will have to act as if you are. So will Los Angeles, for instance. And you'll get some overflow from the coastal areas. But mainly, no one is going to think to come over to Tehachapi. It also sits on a fault. There will be places structured around the world where the misplaced ones can go. Sedona is one of them. And yet the way they are preparing in Sedona, they will not be able to feed themselves for 2 weeks, much less the influx that they will get. Because the soul of man will urge him to go where his brothers are. So you will also prepare for an influx of ones, for instance, into this area. For instance, I would expect Marge and Bruce to be here. Whether you're living here or not, if you are misplaced or displaced where you're living now, I would expect you to come here. Because this is where your tentacles should pull you. I don't care if ones live here or live elsewhere, as long as their contribution can be made. Commuting, I guess, is a good word. Ones are going to have to begin to make their commitments one way or another soon, because funding is right here. You've still got a little while to struggle here, but already the ones in this group feel the sorting coming. As we get the motion picture studios all set up, we've got to have flying service. We've got to have the ability to commute instantly by helicopter. This is just a for instance. So I'll talk about that later in a minute, as far as stressing it. We're going to have wholesale warehouse type food sources for the people. You're going to have, as you have industry build, you're going to have a great influx of people just because they would know jobs would be available. So they're going to have to be able to survive and have homes to live in. That's why we're starting out with the ability to build housing. You cannot have a massive influx of people in for jobs even without places to live. For a while people can commute from Mojave and Palmdale and places like that. But once your communication center gets started, you're going to have a massive influx of people. Some will be able to work, and others will not have a job when they first get here. On the other hand, you'll be having printing, publishing. The word has to go out in many ways. These vision, how can I put it? You're going to have two inputs. One in picture form, from any media that you have that takes pictures, and the printed word. And I would be curious right now to know what's going on with the printing. I will interrupt myself here so that we can get a little bit of a report from as we skim over part of this.
I believe Rick spoke with Randall yesterday.
He sure did. And he's working this week with the group up there in terms of the proposal. He said that they are somewhat, I won't say ambivalent, I'll just say they are apparently vacillating or not quite clear where they are at. So he is basically proceeding on his own to put together the package. to the best of his ability, and we will hear back from him soon on that.
Well, it has to be done. I'll put it this way. If they vacillate and they decide they'd rather not participate, do you see, you have to have a proposal anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Randall sees that too.
And the best way to get it is by working with ones who have the operation. Then you don't miss things. And besides that, I can scan and I can see that they will not do it. They will not make it there. They have not made it there. And as we move on toward growth, we will give ones already established an opportunity to utilize their talents. We have no wish to deprive ones of their livelihood. Oberle would do ridiculously badly trying to print a book. There are ones who know how to print a book. Oberle can get you from here to anywhere you want to go in a Cessna 180. He would not get you farther than over the hill and a very hard landing